Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. This episode, I am so excited to record because it is in celebration of my 30th birthday. Yay! I am so excited about this birthday. I know that a lot of people kind of look at turning 30 and kind of dread it. But for some reason this year, I am just so excited. Other birthdays, yes, I have dreaded them. 25, that was a rough one. But 30, it feels so magical, and I am just so ready for it. So I wanted to do something really fun, and in celebration of my 30th birthday, I wanted to answer 30 fun, random, personal questions, just questions to kind of have a little bit of fun, let you guys know a little bit about myself. And so I'm going to jump into them. I have all the questions here lined up in front of me. I haven't prepared my answers, so forgive me if I like and all of that my way through these questions because I haven't prepared any answers. So I'm going to try to keep this as short as I can with 30 full questions, but they're going to be a lot of fun. So let's jump right in with question number one. Question number one is, what is your favorite food? My all-time favorite food, I am actually kind of a weird person with my food. I'm actually a really picky eater, but the food that I do like, I love. And I love food, and my love language is food. But my all-time favorite food has to be spaghetti. Hands down, spaghetti. And Daniel's spaghetti is the best. He makes it the best out of everybody. Number two, what is your favorite song? I don't really have one particular song. I really go through phases with my music. And honestly, I know it's really cliche to say, but I really like a lot of different genres of music and I go through different phases. Right now, I'm really in a Drake phase. I do love hip hop, which you might not believe by looking at me, but I absolutely love rap, hip hop. I have gotten really into Spanish music lately. And yeah, so right now, those are kind of some of my favorite songs, is a lot of Drake's new songs. So number three, what is your favorite book? Another hard one because I love books, but my all-time favorite book, and I think the book that has probably had the most influence on my life, is You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. That book is actually what prompted me to start my entire blog and my entire business, and 2 years later got me to where I am today. So I would have to say that is my hands-down favorite book. And if you haven't read that book, I will link to it in the show notes. And I highly suggest the audio version because she narrates it herself and she is hilarious and she is sarcastic. And if strong adult language offends you, this is not the book for you. Obviously, it has a cuss word right in the title, but it is an amazing life-altering book. All right, number four. How many siblings do you have? So I have two sisters. I am the oldest of three girls, which is completely ironic because I also have three girls. But yes, I am the oldest of three girls. We are each 3 years apart. So my middle sister, Stephanie, is 3 years younger than me. Exactly 3 years, actually. She was born on my third birthday. And then my youngest sister, Danny, is almost 6 years younger than me. More like 5 and a half. So yeah, it's just three of us. Number five, when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up? So obviously a million things, like every person when they're little. But when I was in junior high, I really, really, really wanted to be a fashion designer. And I used to stay up all night long as late as I could and sketch clothes and cut pictures out of magazines and pair outfits together. And I dreamed of having all of these fabulous clothes that I saw in these magazines. And I really wanted to move to New York and be a fashion designer, and which is like, does not fit my personality at all now. But I went through a phase where I wanted to be that. I went through a phase where I wanted to go in the army, or I wanted to go into the Air Force. I really, really wanted to go in the military. I loved the structure of the military, and I loved the free college tuition. That sounded really appealing. And then when I started college, I went to school originally to be a 8th grade history teacher. That was my goal. And I got more than halfway through college and I switched to entrepreneurism and business. So yeah, I went through a lot of different phases, which kind of answers number 6. Did you go to college? And if so, what did you study? Yes, I did go to college. I went to junior college for 2 years, and then which is in the next town over. And then I transferred to the university that is here in our town for my last 2 years. And I actually majored in history and ended up minoring in business. So I actually have a degree in history. I totally love history. Huge history nerd. Number 7 is, how did you meet your husband? So my husband and I have been together for a very long time. We actually started dating when I was 15 and he was 18, but we have known each other even longer than that. We met when I was about 11 or 12. When we first moved to Texas, I was 10, and we were actually lived down the street from each other, but he was away. His dad was working off, so they were like traveling with him. So we didn't meet for the first little while. And then we met when I was probably like maybe 11 or so. And we met because my family owned a store in a marina. And if you follow my Insta stories, you see a lot that we go to the lake where my mother-in-law lives, still lives in the house that my husband grew up in. And, that we owned a store, restaurant, marina that had cabins and RV spots and all of that on that lake. And obviously him and his friends would come in and get sodas and eat at the restaurant and hang out and flirt with me and my sisters. And yeah, that's how we met. And so we were friends for a lot of years and we knew each other for a lot of years before we actually started dating. So yeah. We've known each other almost as long as we can remember. So number 8, when your husband is away for work, does he watch your Insta stories to see what you and the girls are up to? Absolutely. He watches every single thing I do. He watches pretty much every video I make. He listens to pretty much every podcast episode. He reads every blog. A lot of times I have him read blogs and or watch videos before I actually publish them to make sure that like, I kind of get his seal of approval if I'm feeling like insecure about something or I'm just super excited and I can't like wait, you know, to publish something. But yeah, when he's away at work, he totally watches our Insta stories. We text him all day long. We Snapchat him for like more like stuff that I don't want to put on Insta stories, obviously. But the thing is when he's at work, he works 12-hour days. And he's off for 12 hours on his watches and he stays on the boat the entire time and he actually works nights. So he doesn't wake up until it's like almost time for dinner. It's like 7-8 o'clock at night or so when he wakes up and then he goes to bed actually right after I wake up. So we talk at my bedtime and then we talk at his bedtime. And so he sleeps all day long. So when he wakes up and he sees our Insta stories, he sees our Snapchats, he gets to see all of the crazy things that we've been up to throughout the day. But yes, he keeps up with every single thing, even though he's not active on his social media at all. He's always watching. So number 9, was your husband on board when you started budgeting? And if not, do you have any tips? So that's a really full question. And I actually have this on my list of things to do an entire podcast episode over. And I totally will very, very soon, I promise. But No, he was not on board at first when we first started budgeting. He is totally the spender. And he works very, very hard for his money. And yeah, so he was not on board at first. He totally just wanted to have fun, wanted to go and buy things and all of that kind of stuff. And it took him, goodness, I don't know, several months, not quite a year, I don't think. But once he really started to see some results from it, he really got on board. But he's always kind of been like, I am one to always have a million crazy harebrained ideas. And he is always very supportive of my ideas. And he's always like, well, if you think that'll work, or if you're excited about it, I'm excited about it. So even though he wasn't fully on board with budgeting, he always has kind of an underlying, like, I'm going to just trust you on this one. And sometimes he drags his feet more than other times. But do I have any tips? So what really helped us, I'll try to kind of keep this answer short. What really helped him get on board was to sit down and talk about our goals together, talk about our dreams together. And the word goals might scare your husband off if he's not on board. So say dreams, which is the same. It's the same thing. So we talked about our dreams and where we wanted to be in the future. And we started to write some things down, and I went into it very lovingly. I went into it very positively. I didn't push. I didn't lecture, because I had tried that before and it didn't work. And I knew if I wanted this time to be different, I needed to take a different approach. So I took a softer approach, a more grace-filled approach, a more loving approach, and really just explained to him that, like, look, if we want our family to live this life that we're dreaming of, then we're really gonna have to, you know, get our act together and quit messing around. And yeah, so that was there's obviously more that went into that, but that was definitely where we started, and that really changed his heart. Okay, number 10. Will you try for a baby boy in the future? I really laughed when I saw this question. So I was like, ah. So we are done having babies. Our baby factory is closed, if you know what I mean. And we will not be having any more babies. Although I did really want 4 babies when we started. And Daniel always wanted 2. And so even before we got married, we decided to compromise and agree on 3 before we even got married, before we even started having kids. And that was something that we didn't want to fight over. So I would probably have a million babies if it was up to me, but obviously that's not realistic. And I would love to have a boy. And we discussed having a 4th, but we were pretty sure that it would just be a 4th girl. So we decided no more babies for us, and that we were very blessed with the 3 that we have. And 3 kids in 4.5 years will make you want to close down your baby factory pretty quickly. So I am just hoping for nephews, and we just had our first nephew a few weeks ago. So hopefully we'll have a lot of nephews and we'll get our boy fix. So number 11. How did you pick each of your girls' names? So I put a lot of thought, as most mamas do, into my girls' names. And June's name is June Elizabeth, and she is named June after my mother-in-law. That's her middle name. And I loved how sweet and simple it sounded, and I loved the nickname Junebug. And I swore when she was, when I was still pregnant with her, that no one would ever call her anything but June or Junebug. And people kept trying to call her Junie and kept trying to call her Juju. And I hated it. And I swore that that would not be her nickname. And now I'm probably the person who calls her Junie and Juju the most. So that's where her first name came from. And her middle name, Elizabeth, came from, I told you guys that I was a history nerd. So one of my absolute favorite people from history was Queen Elizabeth I. And so I thought that Elizabeth just sounded like a princess name. It sounded royal and special and timeless and classy. And so we went with Elizabeth for her middle name. And Izzy's name is Isabel Grace. And Daniel actually picked her name. We kind of took turns. And since I had picked June, he wanted to pick Izzy because he thought Izzy sounded just like a little, I don't know, like a rock star kind of badass kind of chick name, I guess. I don't know. And he really liked the name Izzy. And I was like, well, she needs like a formal name. So we went with Isabel. And we later found out, I didn't know this until after I had already picked her name, we actually found out that the name Isabel means God's promise to provide, and which was so perfect for her. And we didn't even know that's what her name meant. And I picked her middle name Grace because she was conceived 2 months after we had a miscarriage. And I very much needed grace. And it was the lowest point of our marriage. We were the most broke that we have ever been in our 10 years of marriage. And I really just felt like with her, God was just kind of giving me a little piece of grace and just giving me a little piece of heaven on earth and another blessing. And grace also sounds kind of royal and kind of special. And just kind of seemed like it fit. And so we went with Isabel Grace. And I actually told my mother-in-law when we were in the waiting room to get the ultrasound to see if she was a boy or a girl. I told her, so it's Daniel's turn to pick this kid's name. And I don't care what he picks for the first name, but her middle name is going to be Grace. And so that's how we went with that. So Melanie's name is Melanie Catherine. And I actually got the name Melly, which is my favorite thing to call her, is Melly, from Gone with the Wind. And if you've not seen Gone with the Wind, get it together and watch Gone with the Wind. It is amazing. One of my all-time favorite movies. Again, history nerd. It's about the Civil War. Love it. Love it. So Melly in Gone with the Wind is the sweetest, like, most soft-spoken character. And I just absolutely loved her in the movie. And I thought that it seemed like such a sweet, special name. So Melly and then Melanie just sounded, I don't know, just really fit with the other girls' names. And then Catherine actually came from the Duchess, Kate Middleton. And I just another princess, special sounding name. And so we ended up with Melanie Catherine. And a lot of times we call her Melly Cat or Kate. We call her Sister Kate sometimes. So I just loved the name Kate. Anyway. Okay. Number 12. What type of curriculum do you use for homeschooling? That is a really good question. I was kind of surprised that, like, I don't know, you guys don't care about my homeschooling. So we kind of do a combination of, we do buy some curriculum. We do a lot of unschooling, especially with the little two, of course, because, you know, they're only 2.5 and 4.5. So we do a lot of just kind of books from the Dollar Tree, just kind of craft projects, coloring projects, a lot of just helping me cook and helping me clean and kind of life skill type things with them. We do use Aubeca. We've used a lot of Aubeca books. And when I was homeschooled in high school, that's what I used as well. And I love the Christian-based. It is a little rigid sometimes, which is kind of why we alternate with books from the dollar store and just life lessons and things like that when it's starting to feel a little rigid. And June had, obviously, she does the most school because she's 7 and she has issues with attention and sitting still and things like that. And so whenever she's kind of getting bored or getting like unmotivated from her school books, we're the first ones to close the book and go on to doing journaling or other less strict type of things. So we're pretty lax with our curriculum. Number 13, how do you start teaching your girls to have smart money habits? So obviously they're still really little and the little two don't do too much right now. And we have always been really, what is the right word? So obviously we're minimalist. And so the kids don't really buy a lot of toys when they get money for their birthdays or Christmas or something. They either are given the option to, you know, buy something that they happen to want, like candy or art supplies or things like that. And sometimes they do buy some toys. But most of the time they just take that money and they put it in their piggy bank and it's not really an issue. They want for very little. They have everything that they want and they have everything that they need for the most part. So they don't really need to spend their own money on a lot of things. So they pretty much just save their money. And obviously June is a little bit older. And so she's getting to the point where she has learned more. And we mostly with them, we try not to be too strict about it because we don't really want to sit them down and like lecture them about things that they really don't understand. They don't really understand the value of a dollar yet. So mostly we just try to lead by example. We try to verbalize a lot of things. Like when we were saving to pay cash for our vehicles, we verbalized that and we made sure to be excited about it out loud in front of them. We made sure to say that we paid cash for it, even though they might not fully realize it. Hopefully it will get somewhere in their subconscious and it'll be part of their childhood memories. And we just try to use our words very carefully in front of them and try to put abundance types words in our everyday speech about money. And we try to not blame money for things. Instead of saying, well, we can't have that because it's expensive, we can say, oh, you just don't need that, because sometimes they just don't need that random toy from Walmart. Or we can say, well, yeah, we can put that in the budget, or we can save for it, or we're going to wait for the next grocery day to get more cookies because you don't need them right now, and things like that. So we mostly just lead by example. We honestly don't pay our kids to do chores. For one, we have a really tiny house and there's really not much chores to do. They're not big enough to really do like mow the grass or wash the cars by themselves. They do help. And sometimes we'll pay them when they do extra things, especially June, because she can do the dishes now and she can fold laundry and she can wash the cars and things like that. But they pick up their room because it's their room, because it's their responsibility. So the little two definitely don't get paid for their chores, and we don't do allowances because we feel like they live here, they can help, they're part of the family. And June does get, you know, like a quarter for helping with little things. And that might change as they get older. So I'm not exactly an expert on teaching kids about money yet because I feel like my kids are so little, but anyway, that is what we do right now. So number 14, you said you had a business fail. What was it? I actually got this question like 3 or 4 different times. So I was kind of surprised. So yeah, I talk about how I had a business fail right before I got pregnant with Izzy, right around the time I had a miscarriage. So I was actually an auctioneer and I ran an auction house. And I had my auction license for, oh goodness, maybe 34 years or so. I'm not sure, something like that. Maybe 4 years. And I ran an auction house and I also ran a little resale shop at the same time for a while. And we kind of did both for a while in the same building. And then we split and we were in 2 buildings. And that was the beginning of the end because I could not afford to have 2 businesses open at the same time. It was just too much. And I had an almost 3-year-old at the time June was 2. And then I was pregnant and then I had a miscarriage and then I was pregnant again. And so the business was just too much. And Mostly, I think it failed because, for one, I couldn't give it the time that it needed. I was already working 50 or 60 hours a week and taking June to work with me every single day. So I feel like I couldn't really give it what it needed. I didn't have the money. I didn't start up with money and savings like you should. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was really young, obviously. And so I couldn't afford to pay people to help me. Some people did help me, but I couldn't really afford to pay them what they were worth. And so it was just a couple of years of really just struggling to keep our head above water, and the landlord calling, yelling because we couldn't pay the rent, and getting the phone disconnected a couple of different times, and just not a way to run a business at all. We were borrowing money from our personal money, but personally, we were already in so much debt. We were already struggling, and it was a lot of juggling money back and forth. It was a lot of paying taxes late and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, after I had the miscarriage, my body was just physically exhausted, and it was just time to close it up and go home. And I really wanted a second baby, and I didn't want to do all of that with another baby in tow. So that is basically the summary of what happened. It was a very, very dark time and a very, very hard decision to close up and go home, because I've always wanted to be a businesswoman. But, you know, motherhood won in that sense. And now I'm blessed to be able to do both and to be able to work from home. So I feel like it was the right decision. So number 15, how did you find the courage to believe you were enough to teach others? That is an awesome question. And the truthful answer is that some days I don't believe that I'm enough. And some days I don't post things because I think, who really cares what I'm doing? Or I put things on my story and I'm like, I put things on my Insta story and then I'm like, who even cares what you are eating? Like, who even cares that you are going to the library? Nobody cares. And I think we all have that voice of insecurity in us. And the real answer is, how did I find the courage? Was I felt God calling me to share our story and to help women who were where I used to be. And that call was louder than my fear. And I get stuck in the fear a lot, and I fall victim to it a lot, and I criticize myself a lot, and I'm not always confident and outgoing and, you know, all of that. But I think that when God puts a call on your heart, you have got to listen. And the more that you listen, the more that you will feel in alignment. And I think the easier that it will be, because you will realize that it was your true self all along. Number 16 is, how big is your house? So my house is very tiny, and we are currently in a rent house. Our house is 2 bedrooms and 1 bathroom for 5 people in our 50, 60 pound lab that we have. And it is just under 750 square feet. It is super, super tiny, and I absolutely love it. Even though it is old, it was built in like the 50s. We don't have central air. We don't have central heat. We don't have a dishwasher. Our laundry room is outside, but I still love it. It's our cozy little cottage. Number 17, will you ever grow your hair out again? I thought that was an adorable question. I've had my hair short for about a year now, and I absolutely love it. I think that, like, I look back at pictures of myself with long hair and I feel like sometimes I looked prettier maybe or something. But I just feel like this is me right now, and it's so low maintenance, and, you know, I can focus on my girls and my business, and I don't have to focus on my looks all the time. So for the foreseeable future, I will probably leave it short because I'm totally loving it. I feel so free and it's amazing. Number 18. Do you still have your pop-up camper? No, we actually sold our pop-up a little over a year ago before we moved to this tiny house. We had really outgrown it. We got it when we just had June and I was pregnant with Izzy. And it was just not big enough for all of us anymore. And it was super old. I think it was like maybe 70s, 80s model. I can't remember. It was really old anyway. So it was starting to kind of leak and fall apart. So we did sell it. And number 19 is, how often do y'all camp? So obviously now that we don't have our pop-up, we don't camp as often. My grandparents have a little bit bigger of a camper that we have borrowed a few times. But we try to go at least a couple of times a year. And our next goal, as some of you might know, is to buy our own camper, because we absolutely love camping. We love traveling. And we love just being outdoors with nature, you know, having a fire, going on nature walks, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, we absolutely love camping. And as soon as we get our camper, we will be camping all the time. And we're very excited about it. Number 20, what is your favorite line item on your budget? Honestly, I'd have to say right now, savings, which probably is like a cliche answer, but savings, because I'm very excited to get our camper, because I'm very excited to travel, and I am definitely the nerd of the two of us. So anytime we can stick money in savings, that's always my favorite. But I do actually love our grocery budget, because I kind of love the challenge of our grocery budget, and I love the permission to spend it. So, you know, I'm a total mom, and my treats are a bag of cookies and getting ice cream and things like that from the grocery store. Those are about our treats these days. So I kind of like our grocery budget as well, if I have to be honest. So number 21, what are your favorite money affirmations? Just telling myself, I don't really have a specific quote of an affirmation in front of me or anything, but just telling myself that I'm enough, telling myself that I am worthy of success and that I will achieve my goals, that I can do good things with my money, to remind myself that it's not greedy to aspire to have wealth, because I do struggle with that sometimes. To remind myself in my affirmations that money will allow our family to be together every day, because my husband works offshore, and so he spends half of his life away from us, and he has done this for 12 years. So I've virtually spent half of the past 12 years without him, and he's my absolute favorite person in the entire world. And I realize that with money and with wealth, he can retire from this job. And the five of us can be together every day, which is what my heart tells me is the right thing. So I remind myself of my affirmations a lot, that it's not greedy to want money, that it is not wrong to aspire to have wealth, and that wealth will help me reach my heart's desire and my purpose in life. So somewhere along those lines, I put it into more eloquent affirmations. And a lot of times I just write affirmations in my journal. So just kind of however exactly I'm feeling, and whatever kind of heart issue I feel like I need to work through with my money. But money is usually the root of most of my affirmations. Number 22, favorite tip for trimming down the grocery budget. So I'm not super frugal with my meals. I am not a cook at all. I really despise cooking. I'm not inventive with my meals. I'm very, very boring. I repeat the same 5 or 10 meals over and over again. When Daniel is home, he is definitely the cook. He's way better at it, way more inventive. He actually enjoys cooking a lot. He's very, very good at it. So when I trim down my grocery budget, it's mostly just trying to push the budget as long as I can, especially when he's at work. The girls and I don't mind having like random meals. Like the girls don't mind having scrambled eggs and toast with like some strawberries or something for dinner. I honestly don't mind having a bowl of cereal for dinner. Sometimes I don't have to have a fancy meal. So one of my favorite tips for trimming down the grocery budget is to just have like random things for dinner sometimes. And to try to push your budget, to try to ration your budget, to try to like challenge yourself to make the milk last as long as you can. And I always kind of try to turn it into a game. So that's what kind of what I do for my grocery budget. Number 23 is, what is your weekly food budget? So it does vary a lot depending on if Daniel is home or not. Obviously, the girls don't eat very much. So our grocery budget is not quite double when he's home, but it's quite a bit more when he's home. So usually when he's at work, we can squeak by sometimes on like 100, maybe 150. And I also include, just like side note, I also include dog food. I also include laundry detergent, you know, all of our bathroom toiletries, our paper towels, toilet paper, diapers, pull-ups, wipes, like all that ultra expensive stuff. I also include that in my quote food budget is groceries to me, and all of that's groceries. I get all of that at the same store. So 100, 150, more like 150 to 200 a week when he's home. And another side note on that is that that is now, that is 4 years into our debt-free journey. That is, you know, what, 7-8 months after being debt-free. When we were in the thick of paying off our debt, our grocery budget was a lot tighter than that. A lot tighter than that. So take that, what is our grocery budget, with a grain of salt. Because when we first started, obviously we only had one child who was eating real food at the time. So that also helped. But we really, really scrimped on our food back then. And we really, really cut coupons and all of that. And so our grocery budget was way cheaper when we first started. Number 24, easy go-to meal. So like I said, I am not a cook at all. I despise cooking. So easy go-to meals are, we do a lot of sandwiches for lunch. We do a lot of cereal for breakfast. We do a lot of toast. We do a lot of fruit. We do a lot of frozen pizzas. We do a lot of popcorn chicken for dinner. We do easy things like tacos, spaghetti, chili, things like that. So I am very, very boring when it comes to my meals, for sure. Number 25, if you won the lottery and had to spend all the money in 1 year, what would you do? I didn't prepare an answer for this. So if I had to spend all my money in 1 year, obviously it would depend on how much was my lottery winnings. But I would for sure buy a good sized piece of land, build our house with a big like back patio, built in grill, outside fireplace, like the works, a big in ground pool with a hot tub, waterfall, all that fancy stuff. We would probably buy some toys that we've been putting off. And by toys, I mean like a camper, four-wheelers, jet skis. We've always wanted a Jeep. We've always wanted like a classic, like a Chevelle or something. I've always wanted a Range Rover. So probably buy some cars. We would definitely give money to our family, our mothers. Both of our moms are single, and so we would definitely help them out. We would probably give some money to our siblings. We would probably take some trips that we have been wanting to take. Like, we've always wanted to go to Costa Rica. We've always wanted to go to Hawaii, Australia. I've always wanted to go to Egypt. Daniel wants to go to Greece. We would probably travel a lot, obviously. We'd probably travel a lot in our camper. I would probably give a lot of money away. I've always wanted to start a scholarship fund for homeschooled kids, because I feel like homeschooled kids miss out on a lot of opportunities for scholarships. I have always wanted to help with foster kids. My mom had foster kids several times while I was growing up. She was a foster parent. So I've always had a soft spot for foster kids. So I would love to do like a huge, I don't know, maybe like a program to give them like Christmas presents or help them with different things. And Daniel is very into like wildlife conservation. So he's always wanted to start like a fund or to be a huge supporter for like Ducks Unlimited and different wildlife conservation type things. So we'd probably give a lot of money away too. That's a really fun question. Number 26, do you see yourself living somewhere other than Texas in the future? Not really, But I'm kind of a hermit. I'm kind of a homebody. And I love where we live. I love the trees. I love the warm weather. I would probably freeze and die if I lived up north, even though I was born in Illinois. I lived there till I was 10. No, I'm not going back to the snow. I absolutely love Texas. It's beautiful here. We have lakes. We have nature everywhere. It is not too crowded. But we love North Carolina. We went to North Carolina before we were married on a trip. We loved the Outer Banks in North Carolina. We loved Kitty Hawk, like that whole area. We love the mountains in North Carolina, Tennessee, like that area. But I wouldn't see us ever living there. Maybe traveling, maybe staying a while, but we'll probably stay in Texas. That's where most of our family is anyway. Number 27, what are your long-term financial goals? So my ultimate big vision right now goal is to retire Daniel from the water and to build our dream house, to have some land, to have an in-ground pool, to have a back patio area where we can host parties and family get-togethers. That is my heart. That is my love language, is having family over. And Daniel's love language is feeding people, and I love hosting and entertaining. So together, we definitely need a place to do that. So that is one of our ultimate long-term financial goals. Obviously, we want to help our girls with their future. If they choose to go to college or start a business or whatever they choose to do, we'd like to be able to help them financially. And we would love Daniel to retire from the water before he's 45, if not sooner. So those are some of our long-term goals, as well as traveling and things like that. So number 28 is, where do you see yourself in 10, 15, and 20 years? So in 10 years, we would really like to be, let's see, June would be 17. Isn't that how all moms judge time? Like, how old would my kids be? So June would be 17. We would really like Daniel to be retired by then, if not very close to it. So I see myself in our custom-built house, living my best life with my kids, still homeschooling, hopefully, and running my business. I would love to see the business grow even bigger and help more and more people. I would love to have some full-time team members to help me run the business. And in 15 years, will hopefully definitely be retired. And obviously our kids will be pretty much all grown by then. So I would love to probably do more traveling, since our kids will be a lot bigger and we can do more trips with just the two of us. And in 20 years, goodness, in 20 years, I would be 50 and I will hopefully be gearing up for grandma life. And I would love to, like, I'm looking forward to being a grandma for sure. So I would like to still work from home so I could babysit grandbabies and be gearing up, like, for that kind of life, and just spending every day possible with my husband and our house and just living my best life. So number 29, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? 20 years old. So I got married 2 months after I turned 20, which seemed crazy to a lot of people, but I wouldn't have done it any other way. And I would tell myself that you are definitely making the right decision and to enjoy every single moment of not having kids, even though I was in a huge rush to have kids and I don't regret it. But I would tell myself maybe to soak up some of the not mom life and to maybe socialize a little bit more in college. Like I said, I'm a really introverted hermit type person, and so I didn't socialize a lot in college. So I would probably tell myself, you know, join a club in college, make some friends, socialize a little bit more maybe. And I would tell myself to, I don't know, chill out on the credit card use probably and to not finance that furniture that I financed, which was like start of the downward spiral. And I would tell myself to be patient, that it will all happen in time, probably. That's a good question. Number 30, last question, guys. This is a long episode, but it's been really fun. What are you most excited about for your 30s? So I have thought this through a lot, and I think this is part of the reason why I'm so excited to turn 30. And I also kind of feel like Daniel's 3 years older than me, so I also feel like he's already been 30 for almost 3 years, and so I feel like I've kind of already been 30. But I feel like your teens are so hard, and you don't know who you are, and every day is a struggle when you're a teenager. And then your 20s, you're trying so hard and you screw up so much and you think you know who you are, but you're still kind of working out the kinks. And for us, you know, and we had just got married when I turned 20. And so these past 10 years have been figuring out the kinks of our marriage and learning how to be parents and getting ourselves out of debt. And I am really looking forward to in my 30s. Even though I am sad to not have any more babies, I'm looking forward to, like, the big girl ages. I'm looking forward to, like, no diapers and, like, no, like, nap time so we can actually go and, like, do things during the day. And I'm excited about the next 10 years of our marriage. I'm excited about really knowing who I am and really stepping into it very unapologetically and being proud of the fact that I'm 30 and that I have earned this 30 years and I've earned this wisdom that I have behind me. And I am excited to take on another decade because I feel like we have paid a lot of dues in our 20s, and I am ready to start the next chapter. So, on that note, thank you guys so much for your questions. And I absolutely appreciate you joining me for this very long episode. And if you are still listening, you are on my good list because this is a really long episode. I didn't expect it to run this long, but I appreciate each and every one of you. And I will talk to you guys next time. Thank you so much for helping me celebrate my 30th birthday with these super fun 30 questions. Thanks again for joining me for another episode. Don't forget to go to asunnysideuplife.com/podcast to check out the show notes for this episode and all of the previous episodes. That's where you can find links to any resources I mentioned and every resource that you need to get started on your budgeting journey. Don't forget to also jump over to iTunes, hit subscribe, and leave me a review while you're there, and to share this episode with your friends and family on social media. That is what is going to help me grow, and I appreciate you so much.